It is difficult in life, isn't it? Because we change. There's things we liked as a kid, and then we let go of those. And then as we get past our teen years and preteen years, and you know, again our tastes change. There's things we like, there's things we don't like. There's new things that we discover as our life journey goes on. And as we look and as we dive into God's Word, we find that God guides us through all of those changes to help us sort out what's good and bad and right and wrong. God guides us into His Word to teach us about His truth. But our dilemma, and it seems to be encouraged, we like to be free spirits, right? How would you describe a person that's a free spirit? Often independent, right? Thinks outside the box, right? Okay? We may consider them creative, and creative doesn't mean everything. It just means that in their giftedness, they seem to be creative, whether it is in architecture or whether it is in working with clay and sculpturing or painting or whatever it is, they tend to be creative. What else do you notice about free spirits? One thing I notice is that they don't let other people's opinions define them. What do you think? Is that true? Maybe. Okay. How much of you wants to be a free spirit? And then you get to Exodus 20. And you have the whole list of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt and thou shalt not, right? And what happened to all of your freedom? What happened to choosing who you worship? What happened to choosing who you obey? I mean, that seems real popular right now in our society. You know, I don't have to listen to you. And it's said to almost any kind of source. And on we begin to see the reasons why people don't like Christianity. Because it hinders their free spirit. It hinders their independence. It you know, gets in the way of living outside the box, if you will, of choosing how I wish to conform or not to conform. But what the law shows us is that none of us conform to perfection. None of us conform to absolute holiness. None of us fit in the description of the law. We all fall short of this law that is given in the scriptures. And since we all fall short, we wonder what good is it. It's just like we ask about any other rules that we've ever encountered in our journey. How come I have to chew with my mouth shut? How come I have to keep my elbows off the table when eating? Why do I have to wash my hands before eating? And on, we start with questions young, and it seems like we still have questions today. Even for people in my age group or older. How come? When we take a look at the law, we begin to see a couple of things. One, the law was given because God cared for His people. You ever thought about that? Rules are established not just because someone has the power to set them in place, but God's rules are there because he cares. The second thing is that the rules protect the people for whom he cares. Third is the rules guide us. They set us in the right direction regarding our choices and the things we avoid. And finally, God wants to bless us as we serve him, as we live for him, as we live with one another, as we cooperate and serve together. God wants us to be blessed and to be a blessing. The Ten Commandments are about all of those. Now think about it. Just the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's what our Heavenly Father said. Now how does that show he cares? Think about it. Well, the first thing we come to find out in Scripture is if you believe in any other god, you have no life and salvation. Think about it. Not all religions end up with the person being in heaven. Not all paths of philosophy and thinking and core values of heart and mind and morality and all of that do not end up with the person in heaven. There is only one way of salvation. And God says, outside of me, there isn't any. So you understand why he told us the rule? Later on in scriptures, it's far after Exodus, you have to get into the New Testament, it tells us that God has no desire for anyone to be lost. But he tells us the opposite. He desires all to be saved. And so he tells us the rule. Think about it when you were growing up, when your mom and dad's told you rules, or if you were staying at grandma and grandpa's, and grandma and grandpa sometimes had different rules. It was a different house, you know. And so, you know, think about what they used to tell you. Don't touch that. And they often would say, you'll get hurt. I'm in the group that touched. Are you? And I'm in the group that got hurt. The rule was not meant to harm. The rule was not meant to hinder. The rule was to help set me free for health and safety and those kinds of things. But I touched. And when I look at the law of God, I find I do the same thing. How about you? When God says don't, I do. And when God says do this, I don't. And the Bible even is very direct and it says all have fallen short. So what good is the law? The law reminds us of why we needed a Savior. See, God also tells us that it's not one of the Ten Commandments, but God tells us a rule later on. There is no name by which we are to be saved except Jesus Christ. There's no name greater in heaven. But instead it tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven, excuse me, heaven and earth and under the earth even. It teaches us those things that God wants us to know to help us. And because we can't keep the law, Christ came to keep the law. And as he fulfilled the law, then he took a marvelous next step as far as our perspective is. He took the punishment of the law on himself. Amen. So the Bible is true when it says there's now no condemnation under the law for those who are in Christ Jesus. What it's saying is you can't be a free spirit, but you can be free to live in the Spirit of God and according to His Word and according to His truth. Independent thinking might be great in terms of invention and things like that, but it can never be separated from the direction that God gives us in His Word. Independent thinking might be creative in artwork. And sometimes, unfortunately, I look at artwork and I go, I have no clue what they're wanting to tell me. I'm limited that way. But in the Scriptures is all the fullness of the truth that God wants us to know. And by the power of the Holy Spirit working in our heart and our mind, it is unfolded before us. And as we grow, not only in physical years, but in spiritual maturity, it unfolds for us. Because when I was 5, I had no clue what the Bible verses meant about marriage. And when I was 25, I had no clue what the Bible verses meant about growing old. So in our journey, we turn to the Scriptures, and the Scriptures never contradicts itself. And so we begin with God's rules because He cares and He loves us and He wants to protect us. And we turn to that and we realize that Christ fulfilled that for us, so that in Him we live. And in the new life in Christ, now we begin to serve God. But even in our new life in Christ, how many of you still have the sinful nature? Still? Yeah? Still going on? Notice? Yeah, been baptized, you know? Maybe they should have held me under longer, you know? I don't know if that would have helped. Do you understand how much He gives us to live by the Spirit and the power of the gospel? And the gospel sets in us a love for God and even a love for the rules. It changes our spiritual taste buds. It changes our physical passions. It changes our thinking. So that when we look at the menu of Scriptures, we're going, oh, I can't stand that. No, instead it's, wow, look what God unfolds before us. So the next time you hear the Ten Commandments, don't be afraid. Instead, be lifted up as Christ was lifted up in your place. And the next time you hear the Ten Commandments, you know, don't let your heart be heavy, because all that you can't do, but rejoice because Christ did all we wouldn't do. And the next time you hear the Ten Commandments, even just number one, remember God cares, God protects, God guides, and God provides. Amen.